So I know I often say to you, does anybody have anything on their mind? And actually, I have something on my mind. So I'll use that as a basis. So I'd like to talk a little bit about one of the components of the Eightfold Path, which is right speech. It's also one of the precepts that we take. And as part of the very, very important part of the path, which is our practice in our daily life and how we apply the Dharma to real experiences. And so, I suppose you're all familiar with what right speech means. It's not engaging in false speech, not saying things that are not actually true and valid, not engaging in harsh speech. That means not saying things that are hurtful to someone else. It means not shouting at somebody. You know, harsh speech is shouting, making critical statements, so on and so forth. It means refraining from divisive speech. Divisive speech is speech that is intended to turn one person against another. It's intended to it's to divide people. And then finally, is to refrain from gossip and idle speech. And these are kind of lumped together. The gossip part of it is basically, even if the gossip is not false speech, and even if it's not divisive speech, the essence of gossip is that we entertain ourselves at somebody else's expense. Right? And so, in that regard, just as false speech and harsh speech and divisive speech are forms of speech that are harmful to others, gossip is harmful to others. And if there's ever any doubt, you say, well, how do I feel if somebody's gossiping about me? Idle speech is closely related to it, but that's time wasting. That's basically time wasting. Talking about meaningless, frivolous things. And you could be talking about the Dharma or something that is genuinely meaningful. So that's how right speech is defined. And the reason that speech is singled out the way it is in this path is if you consider the impact of it as human beings, you know, other kinds of beings, dogs, for example, don't have a problem with right speech. Right action is very important to dogs. And right livelihood. Right action and right livelihood are very important to people too. But people have this whole other dimension of speech. And we inflict a lot of pain and suffering through our speech. Is that not correct?
Yes.
We do. We create a lot of our reality through our speech. Is that not true? And of course, we try to create a reality, or we try to manipulate reality through our speech. And so, in many different ways, speech is an extremely important part of how we practice the Dharma and how we live by the Dharma. You know, you absolutely can't ignore it. You absolutely can't minimize its importance and its impact. When you're talking about any of these, any of these parts of the Eightfold Path that are called virtue, you know, right action, right speech, and right livelihood, the one thing that you find is what the question you have to ask yourself, and this is an important part of practicing it, is why would I do this? Why would anyone do this? So take speech, for example, false speech. Why would you ever say anything that is not true? What do you think?
To protect yourself.
What's that?
To protect yourself.
To protect yourself, okay.
To
that's right. You know, I didn't do it, Mom. It was him. Yep.
Sometimes it's to advance an agenda.
Mm-hmm. Yes, very often it's to advance an agenda. And that's the kind of attempting to manipulate and create reality.
Mm-hmm. Ego.
Ego. That is a very big part of it.
Huge.
It's a huge part of it. We use speech to bolster our ego, to defend our ego, to attack somebody else's ego if our ego feels threatened by their ego. So that's another really important thing. Desire, which you said, desire and aversion, and you said to protect yourself, you said to advance an agenda, and if you just generalize that, and people use wrong speech, all the different kinds of wrong speech, because of desire and aversion. Bill mentioned ego, that is an attachment to ego self, you know, the ego idea of the world. So, the reason that I bring this up is what makes this so important in the practice of virtue. The practice of virtue is not about following rules. The practice of right speech is not where you gain or lose points because you either do or don't use false speech, or do or don't use harsh speech. That is probably the totally least useful application of the Buddhist practice of virtue and of the precepts that you can engage in, is to try to regulate and control your speech and your behavior because of a rule. Not that that doesn't have good consequences. Because a person who is truthful, who does not engage in harsh speech, who is not divisive, and who doesn't gossip, is going to be much admired and respected by their companions, and is going to benefit in many positive ways. So, it's not that it's useless, but it is the least useful way to apply this. Where it becomes really useful is where you examine your motivations. It's not enough to catch yourself before you say something about someone else. It's to then look inside, what was my motive? Where did that come from? Because this is, if we're on this path, we're about purifying ourselves of those kinds of motives and afflictions, because they will keep getting in our way. They will stand in the way of our happiness, they'll stand in the way of our gaining wisdom, they'll stand in the way of our success in meditation progress. They will continue to obstruct us and just create endless problems. We have to learn to deal with them. And the first step is honestly and openly acknowledging in ourselves, where does this impulse come from? And recognizing where it comes from. This is a way of doing work on ourselves. And it's beneficial to us. Keeping the precepts and keeping your virtue is very beneficial to you. I already mentioned one way, which is that it'll obviously dramatically change the way other people think of you and treat you. But it's also for your benefit because it's moving you towards nirvana and away from suffering. So that's another very important thing that it's doing. Yes?
I'm sorry to interject something just really quickly, but I noticed it really changes your relationships with people because so many people want to bond with you or connect with you by gossiping.
Absolutely.
By putting other people down. Like, I just think of a colleague I don't know her very well at work, just being friendly, and she just would come up and out of the blue just start putting down other people or other colleagues.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I just sit there and stare and try to think of, like, you know, what response should I have?
That's right.
But there's, like, a ton of those situations. I feel like I'm always in those situations. Now I'm always like, look.
But there really is. There's the gossip and the divisiveness.
Yes.
You know, the petty jealousies and the resentment. Even a minor slight. I mean, when we talk about divisive speech, you know, we're not just talking about Rush Limbaugh. We're talking about when somebody feels slighted by something somebody else did or said yesterday. So at lunch today, they start attacking them to their mutual friends. And they may actually be close. It may be the close friend of the person that's doing the attacking, but they can't resist getting their licks in because they felt slighted yesterday. You know, people do it all the time. And as a matter of fact, most of the conversation you'll see people having can involve an awful lot of wrong speech. Yeah, you're absolutely right on that. There is another aspect to right speech too. If we have some grasp of where this path is taking to us, if we realize that our perceived separateness is an illusion, then all of these unwholesome things that we do, in a sense, we're doing them to ourself. But even beyond that, we're doing them to suchness. We're doing them to God. We're doing them to another manifestation of the Buddha nature. And so that's another really important aspect of this. And so one way that you can think of the practice of right speech is an extremely important way of cultivating not only the Buddha nature that is within you, but the Buddha nature in its entirety, which is involved in everything and everyone around you, and which you are trying to awaken to the reality of. What do you think of that? Now, virtue is not simple. It is extremely problematic. At first, it seems simple. But the more you practice it, the more problematic it becomes. There is one of the sutras where someone asks the Buddha a question. Actually, he was put up to asking this question by the leader of another sect at the time who disagreed with the Buddha's views. And he sent this person, he said, "And you go to the Buddha and you ask him this question and you're going to totally tangle him up and he's going to answer in a way that contradicts himself." The question was, and this is directly related to free speech, not right speech. This is actually it's a sutra on right speech. And so the person comes to the Buddha and says, noble sir, would you ever say something to someone, would you ever make a statement that was not endearing? I can't, you know, Thamsara Bhikkhu's translation, he found a really good word, I can't remember what it is. And he say something that's unpleasant, say something that is that somebody else doesn't want to hear, say something that, is not endearing, I guess is about as close as I can come without, you know, remembering what the word was translated. He asked the Buddha, he said, with regard to right speech, would you ever say something to somebody that is not endearing? And the Buddha didn't give a yes or no answer. He said, there's no simple answer to that question. He said, I would not say something that is not, anything that I say must be both true and beneficial. He said, I would not say anything that was endearing if it were not true and if it were not beneficial. And I would not say anything that is not endearing if it were not true and or not beneficial. He said, but I would not say something unless it was at the right time. This is a true thing. So, just because something's true, and just because you think it's beneficial, doesn't mean it's the right thing to say. And the Buddha went on to explain why that would be. He said, the reason that I would not say something, even though it was true, and even though it was beneficial, if it were not the right time, is out of compassion for other beings, for the suffering that the words can cause. He says, I would say it at the right time. So this gives us a really important guideline. What do you say? Just because it's true that so-and-so is an asshole, you say, you know, I hate to tell you this, but I have to, my precept, you're an asshole. So that's not really the right thing to do. There are many things that are true that you might choose never to speak about because they're not beneficial. But there may be some things that are true and you can see that it would be beneficial to speak them and to make them known. But you must be very careful that you do it at the right time. And the criteria for the right time is compassion for others. Compassion for other people. So it's a very, very useful thing to keep in mind. We're not just talking simply about false speech means that you don't say anything that's not true. Therefore, anything that's true you can say. Because that is very, very clearly not the case. Even if it's true, it must be beneficial. And even if it's true and beneficial, you must use skillful means to determine when is the right time. It's a mistake that we often make. This is where things get problematic with right speaking. When is the right time? And once again, part of it is looking at your motives. You know, I mean, even if it's beneficial to tell this person that the truth, which is that they're an asshole. What is your reason? Are you telling them this because it's beneficial? Or because of some other less wholesome reason?
Very often I think we might tell ourselves sometimes that it is beneficial to them. However, if we really look carefully, it's something that we think would be beneficial.
Exactly.
To us.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's important to understand.
Exactly. That means part of the right time is after you have looked in your own heart and you have examined your own motives and you purify your own motives. Because otherwise, you can't use this to rationalize being me. Or fulfilling some other agenda.
Or you can just be asleep and not realize what you're doing.
As a matter of fact, a lot of times that's what happens. You're asleep, you're not realizing what you're doing. That's true. Which is why you can't practice any of the virtues unless you cultivate mindfulness, mindful awareness. Otherwise, it will just never work. And that's also one of the reasons why rule following just cannot succeed. Because your mind will present all the rationalizations necessary for you to speak in your sleep and say something that you shouldn't for all the wrong reasons. You have to practice mindfulness.
And I think the moment that you ask yourself, is this the right time?
Yeah.
Reveals that there's mindfulness.
That
beginning of,
that's
okay,
right.
Where's the motivation? What, you know?
Why am I doing this? What effect is it going to have? Is this the right time?
The right time, yeah.
That's right. That's the practice of mindfulness.
But there might be still situations where you hurt somebody and you did it with the right intention, mm-hmm. what you said. You did it at the right time, but there was an expectation maybe
mm-hmm.
from the other person. So how do you, you cannot take responsibility for that reaction then when you have mindfully really looked what you did it and why you did it, right? But there is still hurt.
That's right.
Right.
Let me give you another kind of difficult situation. Supposing that... supposing that you've discovered that somebody... say you discovered somebody in the Sangha is untrustworthy and that they may exploit other people. Right? Now, you discover this, and it's true. And speaking about it would be a benefit. How do you decide when is the right time, and how do you go about it? Where is the difference between that? Where does divisive speech end? And saying something that's necessary because it's beneficial and true. There's a bit of a conundrum for you. Yes?
In my own life, I find that one of my greatest allies is time.
Yes.
If I just wait,
mm-hmm.
It's amazing to me, continues to be amazing to me, that if I just wait and I don't say what I want to say, and I let, well, the Native Americans say, let the traditional 4 days pass before you say
it.
What wisdom that is, because it's just, you know, in the moment you can feel you understand it, you can feel you've got the whole thing figured out, and you know, even 2 hours go by, let alone 4 days, and all of a sudden your mind starts working on this in its marvelous, complex, flowing way, and pretty soon you see it in a completely different way that diffuses the entire circumstance.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Yeah. Giving yourself some time. Although, there's two things you have to watch out for. One is sometimes, instead of giving ourselves time to come up with the right answer, we just forget about it, and then when it does come up again in our mind, we're no further ahead than we were when we started giving ourselves some time. And the other is, you may have decided to give yourself 4 days, and then 2 days later, you find that a dear friend of yours has suffered because you didn't say anything.
Right?
That's the other kind of problem. So, there aren't easy answers to that. There's actually another sutra. It has to do with the first precept of not killing. No, it's not a sutra. I take that back. It's a Jataka Tale. It's one of the myth stories about the Buddha's supposed previous lives. We started that. apparently, the Buddha in this previous incarnation was on a ship, and some pirate had seized it, and he was going to kill all the people, but the future Buddha was in a position to kill the pirate before he killed everybody else. And he did so. And he did so not only for the benefit of the people whose lives he saved. He did it for the benefit of the pirate that he killed, taking on the karma for killing on himself rather than allowing the pirate to take on the karma for killing all those other people. There's an interesting thing. So
would that be analogous to what you were discussing earlier about what if you knew somebody who was harming somebody in the Sangha, would you want to consider if I take on the karma of being divisive or reporting this either to that person or to someone else, I will take on that karma because it's ultimately to benefit another person.
That's right. Yeah. Might ultimately benefit the person who might otherwise have exploited others. But you see the danger in this? You've got to have the purity of heart of a bodhisattva.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're just back in that same old place. That's a very difficult thing. It's a very difficult thing. And
we're back in that movie called Groundhog Day.
Groundhog Day. Yeah, that's
a
great
movie. I'm in a lot.
That's a great Dharma movie.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
There are a number of Dharma movies, and that's a great Dharma movie. So, anyway, I'm not trying to give you fixed answers. Instead, I'm trying to convey to you what it means to practice is to be open to understand the true nature of the practice of mindfulness and its true application to virtue and to keeping the precept, and to search for your own answers. Mm-hmm. And the truth is that there's no one else in the world that you can rely on. You have to learn to find the answer in yourself. And there, you're going to have to penetrate through those layers of your own mind that will deceive and mislead you in order to get to that part of your mind, we'll call it the Buddha nature, that is going to guide you in right action and right speed. So, thank you very much. And I'll see you in 2 weeks. Except if some of you would like to come out on Sunday. And by the way, a week from this coming Sunday, we will not be doing a Posita observance in the stronghold because there is another retreat there.
Somebody else.
Okay. Thank you very much. Good night. Be well. Take care.
Thank you. Hey.